Hello, hello, hello. You are now listening to The Mothership with me, Josie Booth, on Radio Reverb. On this month's show, we're talking breastfeeding. Who knew feeding your child could be such a minefield? So much so that I've got a whole show dedicated to it because, quite frankly, there is just so much to talk about. On this month's show, we're talking to NCT specialist Val. She'll be telling us why it's such a struggle to breastfeed, how you know if your baby's getting enough milk, and she'll be filling us in on much more. We also have Metro journalist Sarah. She'll be telling us about her article entitled Why Breast Isn't Always Best. She's also talking mum shaming. Have you experienced it? If you have, do let us know. I'll drop you contact details later. Finally, we have our panel of local ladies talking mastitis, tongue tie, nipple confusion, and all those other glamorous bits involved with feeding. Right, let's get started.
Radio Reverb.
So, hi Val, thanks for coming to have a chat with me today. I understand that you are an NCT practice manager.
Yes, that is. Yes. And I'm an antenatal teacher with NCT as well.
Ah, fab. There is quite a big focus during the NCT sessions on breastfeeding. For those ladies that might not have actually done the course, can you tell us some of the benefits?
Well, there's strong messages around at the moment about what the benefits of breastfeeding are. But within NCT, we find that that's actually not the most helpful way thinking about breastfeeding with individual mothers. We find the majority of parents that come to NCT courses are already well aware of the benefits because their midwife will have spoken to them about that or given them information.
Yeah.
And what they're actually more interested in is learning more about what to actually expect, and very often people come with common concerns and worries that they'd like to have addressed.
The numbers of women who are breastfeeding in the UK is quite slim. Why do you think that women do struggle to breastfeed?
That's a really, really good question. It's not all women, it's some women who
yeah.
struggle, and part of the reason is in the West, we tend to parent in isolation. If you go back hundreds and thousands of years, we used to live in tribes.
Yeah.
And so when a new baby arrived, there would be aunties and sisters and grandmothers on hand to help not just take care of the baby, but take care of the new mother as well,
yeah.
so that the new mother could really concentrate on just looking after her baby. And in the West, women will often have had little or no exposure to breastfeeding,
yeah.
And no chance to learn about what it's really like to have and to feed a newborn until they're actually holding their baby. If we look at other cultures where breastfeeding is the norm, young children just grow up surrounded by women breastfeeding. It's what women do, so
yeah.
it's normal, and there tends to be loads of support.
Mm.
The key issues that we come across can be summarised really simply in two things. Is it's a lack of support, unrealistic expectations. If a woman doesn't know how much of the first few days or weeks are going to be spent sat feeding her baby, actually having that experience can come as quite an unwelcome shock. And if you add into that not knowing or not realising where there might be some support, you can see how it can get really difficult for some women.
Absolutely. I mean, I have to say I was quite well informed, and I felt that actually I was armed with that information before I had my son, but it still kind of smashed me in the face when I was kind of feeding for 14 hours every 24 hours of the day. And
absolutely,
it was just yep. intense. And also the pain was something that I didn't quite realise it was going to be quite as painful for me. I don't think everybody had that same kind of physical reaction, but for me it was quite physically painful. It's quite a challenge having to, the one thing that you're meant to be doing, which is putting your baby on your boob, is the one thing that's like, oh, it's torturous. But
that can make things really hard for women. And as you said, not all women will
yeah.
have that with breastfeeding, but we know a significant number do.
Yeah.
And pain is often an indication that there's something wrong. So if you think, if a warning light goes on in your car, you kind of know that there's something wrong with your car. And it's the same with pain with breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And what I'd suggest is that women who are experiencing pain with their breastfeeding could try some self-help solutions first. So
yeah.
we've got some videos on our website and some information on our website. There are videos on YouTube about getting your baby in a really good position for breastfeeding. And if that's not enough, The next step would be seeking help from a midwife or a breastfeeding counsellor, whoever's around for that woman, getting someone who really knows about breastfeeding to maybe observe a feed. And sometimes it's just little tiny corrections with how the baby goes to the breast that can make a huge amount of difference.
Absolutely. I think there was one tip that I found online, which actually was quite beneficial for me, was putting cabbage leaves in the fridge and then putting those in your bra. And they actually did really soothe my boobs. It really worked.
I know, it sounds really bonkers, doesn't it? And if you said to a woman before she's had her baby that you might find yourself going out to buy a Savoy cabbage and popping popping the leaves down your bra, they'd probably think you were a bit mad. But there's actually a wealth of support online that women can tap into, which is great now, because if a woman sat at home with her baby trying to feed and she's got her phone, you can breastfeed and check out things on your phone at the same time. So in some ways, nowadays, it's kind of easier to access some support with it being online.
Yeah.
But what can be really great is actually having somebody to talk to about how it's going, how the feeding's going, how mum's feeling about it. I'd encourage women to maybe look around to see what support groups there might be where they live. Some areas have baby cafes, which are drop-ins where women can go, and it's often the support is from other women.
Yeah.
And it's almost like building that tribe that we don't have anymore of other women who are got similar age babies, and just talking through, you know, because what helps for one woman might not help for another, but sometimes it's other women that say, oh, have you tried this? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
And that's sometimes what helps women with their breastfeeding journey.
You know, touching upon the getting support from other women, and obviously there being an array of information online these days, it's kind of a shame that there's still, you know, such a debate around what women are personally choosing to do for their feeding options.
It is, and it's such an individual decision for an individual mum and her baby and her family. And in NCT, what we offer is parent-centred support, non-judgmental, a lot of listening to that individual woman or that woman and her family, and helping that woman and her family come to decisions which feel right and feel comfortable for them. And there's rarely a one size fits all. And it's a shame when women feel that they are doing something wrong or that they're being judged. I'll put a shout out for recommending getting in touch with one of our NCT breastfeeding counsellors if any women are facing challenges with their breastfeeding or if they're mixed feeding or if they're not breastfeeding at all, but they want to talk to someone about how that feeding with their baby's going, then our breastfeeding counsellors are trained and equipped, ready to talk to individual women about their feeding journeys and help them come to decisions that feel comfortable for them and their family.
No, that's fantastic. And yeah, I think that maybe it's actually, you know, women's own personal I don't know, judgment of themselves, that they feel that other people are maybe judging them, and actually it's just them, you know. It's just because I did a bit of mixed feeding, and maybe, you know, because there was times where I thought, oh gosh, you know, the health visitor might tell me off because I've said that I've introduced a bottle once a day to kind of feed my son. And then when I spoke to her, she was totally fine about it. She's like, yeah, of course, you know, you do what's right for you kind of thing. But in my head, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to get a smack on the wrist kind of thing. So.
And I think that probably comes back to the whole kind of parenting in isolation again, and not and you learn so much, don't you? You learn so much with your baby, and all that you want to do is the very best for your baby. And I think you kind of build up some confidence and some resilience as you go through that. And you know, you had a really good experience with your health visitor affirming the decisions that you'd made, which is great. It's really good to hear. And it would be good if every woman had access to that kind of support when they need it. And not every woman will need the support, but some women really do. And sometimes it's just one call to a breastfeeding helpline or a chat with a breastfeeding counsellor or a midwife that makes a big difference. So I encourage women to, you know, if it feels like something's a bit of a challenge, talk to somebody about it.
Sure. It's quite hard to know how much to be giving your baby. Did you have any tips on kind of how you can measure that?
You know, is my baby getting enough milk is such a common concern for mums. I think however they're feeding their baby, perhaps more so with women who are breastfeeding, you can't see much is going in. So first of all, behaviour of the baby can give a mum reassurance. So a baby who's well attached to the breast will stop feeding when they've had enough. They will come off the breast by themselves and they will look, they can look sleepy. Sometimes they look drunk as if they've had a really good night out. And sometimes they're just, you know, they're awake, but they're nice and calm and they're looking around. Yeah. And the mum can offer the other breast if she wants to, and the baby might be interested or they might not. And of course, another key indicator of, is my baby getting enough milk, is what's coming out the other end.
So
if the baby's keeping the parents busy by producing lots of wet and dirty nappies, that's usually a good indication that however the parents are feeding the baby, if there's enough coming out the other end, there's usually enough going in the top end.
Well, there you go. Thank you for that, Val. That's really useful. And what I'd love to ask you is if you can ping me over key links of support that our listeners can get, I will plonk it onto my The Mothership Radio Reverb Facebook page.
I'll give you a link to a couple of pages on our website, and because we've just put up a video of two mums talking about their feeding experience that other women might find helpful, just to hear other women talking about, you know, actually it was really hard at the beginning. And there's another mum who's like, it just clicked straight away. So varying experiences, and also our helpline, so that women can and the opening times of our helpline, so that women can ring if they need to. That would be
lovely.
Fab. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Val.
Let me tell you about a thrill.
Radio Reverb. You are listening to The Mothership on Radio Reverb. If you like what you're listening to, do give me a shout and let me know. You can get in touch via the Radio Reverb website online, and there's a dedicated little bit to The Mothership. You can drop me a message. You can also do so via the Facebook, the thing that is Facebook. I've got my own page, which is The Mothership Radio Reverb. So, ping me over a message and let me know you're liking what you're listening to. Up for you next, I've got Sarah, Metro columnist, who's going to be talking all about why breast might not always be best. So, Sarah, thanks for coming and having a chat today. You wrote an article for the Metro entitled Why Breast Isn't Always Best. What inspired you to write this piece?
Well, when my daughter was born, I was adamant that I really wanted to breastfeed, and I'd been to all the NCT classes, and it just seemed like the natural choice for me. And immediately I had problems. It was very difficult. I was in quite a lot of pain. The milk didn't seem to be coming through as much as it should. So some of the feeds were going on for an hour. And it just escalated. I felt like I didn't know where to turn. I didn't have any information on formula, because everything I'd been told was about breastfeeding and how easy it is, how natural it is. That wasn't my experience at all. And I was so disappointed. So I wrote the article really just to share with other people that it isn't as easy as you think it's going to be. And I didn't feel that there was any support really at the time, because I felt everything had been geared up to leading you to believe that it is really easy and it is really natural. And I didn't feel there was any support. The midwives were very keen that, you know, I keep feeding, even though I was bleeding quite a lot from both breasts by the time I'd finished.
Wow.
There was no support really. Nobody. I was desperate for someone to say, it's okay, why don't we try formula? And it just never happened. I needed someone to sort of reassure me that was
an option.
And that never happened. So I went through these 4 days. It was as long as I could do. And I felt like a failure.
I think that's something that obviously a lot of women feel, and that's why I was keen to chat to you, because I think there's so much dialogue everywhere about breastfeeding, but there's actually very little discussion about how women feel when they can't breastfeed. You just don't hear about that as much. One of the things you state in your article, that only 17% of babies are exclusively breastfed in the UK by 3 months, which is quite a surprising figure when you hear that there is just so much emphasis on breastfeeding. Do you feel that maybe there should be more discussion about the fact that actually there are other options?
Absolutely. I think that's the thing. It's such an emotive topic. people get very heated and quite judgmental, and so it's really difficult to have an open discussion and or to say I need help or I found it difficult or it didn't work for me, because you feel under such pressure. And we went to all the antenatal classes and it was just never discussed. So we found that when we did want to change the formula, we really didn't have any clue. How do you sterilize when you go out? How do you heat or cool bottles when you're out somewhere? There wasn't that information. We just didn't have. We felt really at a loss, how to begin, because we'd been on a half day breastfeeding course, but there was no advice at all about formula feeding other than what you could find on the internet. So you feel a bit lost, really.
And
it all adds to the feeling that you've made a bad decision and you really shouldn't be going down this path. I did feel like that. I felt like I'd really let my daughter down in the most basic of things.
Kind of like the primal thing of just being able to feed your child. And if you're not able to do that, or, some people would say just kind of crack on, keep feeding through the pain, it will get easier. But, my experience was that actually I wasn't really producing, I was producing very little milk. And obviously everybody says, you always start off with a small supply and you just have to keep going. But I was worked out, I was feeding for about 14 hours a day because I was like logging it, and that was for quite a while. And it was that's because I had so little milk, and by the evenings he was hysterical. And then when I finally did introduce a bottle of formula in the evening, he relaxed, and it was like, okay, he was hungry, and actually that satisfied him. And for that reason I thought, well, why would I in that moment starve my child for what this long-term goal is of, potentially it's going to get better at some point. But, you just don't, if you're hearing your child crying that way, you just want them to be happy and be fed, It's hard. So you mentioned in your article that you didn't really feel shamed as much from midwives, but actually it was rather from other women. In what way do kind of ladies maybe judge you, do you think?
I think once we started to look into formula a little bit more, and we went onto some forums, and that's where you find that it gets so very, very heated, and people are saying, there were things on there like, if you're not prepared to feed through the pain and feed breastfeed at any cost, then you really shouldn't be having children.
Wow.
When you're a new mum, and it's all a shock anyway, you don't really know what you're doing, and you're already feeling down about yourself because you haven't been successful. It just adds to this terrible feeling that you've really let your baby down, you've let yourself down. A lot of people, when I was introducing them to my baby, one of the very first questions was, are you breastfeeding? Even from people who didn't even know us, really surprised me.
It's actually a really personal thing, isn't it?
It is, and I just felt like I wasn't able to say simply no, or I'm using formula, without launching into the full-blown tale of why and how I got there. Really a pressure to justify why I'd made that decision. And photographs, we put photos, as you do, on social media, and I remember my husband saying, oh, quick, look, take that one off. There's a bottle in the background. And we both had the same feeling of, oh, yeah, we don't want that. And, it just seems crazy, really.
Yeah.
But it was just this pressure that you thought, oh, you don't want people to see that because people will judge. And it was all based on, a lot of the things that we had seen on the internet of people, really getting quite heated if you made the decision to formula feed, which, I didn't make the decision lightly. I was in an awful lot of pain, and I felt really that it was spoiling the bonding. I couldn't bond with my baby at all because I was in so much pain through the feeding. I was dreading the next feeding. And, they want to feed every couple of hours. And you're constantly dreading the next feed. It just really spoils that opportunity to bond at all, I think.
I actually have a chat with an NCT specialist on this very show. Is there anything that you felt that you would have liked to have been taught about before you gave birth?
Really love them to incorporate a formula feeding section to the antenatal classes, because that's what I felt I was really missing. We were completely lost. We had these really basic things, like once you've made your bottle up, how long can you keep it for? If you want to go out shopping for a couple of hours, is it still safe to use? How do you cool it? How do you warm it? These things we had no idea of, because the whole course was tailored to the breastfeeding. So it would be really, really helpful. And I think it would also help to relax you to think, oh, okay, if it's coming from an authority like NCT, that this is an option and this is how you do it safely, I think I would have felt a bit more reassured. I think no one in authority had given me any guidance on formula at all. I think that added to my feeling that this really wasn't something you should be exploring.
It's an absolute last resort.
Yeah, very much so.
The article that you wrote, did you ever receive any backlash from that?
Yeah, it was shared on social media through Metro, and there was an enormous amount of comments. And as I say, people do get very, very heated. You need an open discussion about these kind of things. And when the feelings of people are so strong, it very quickly can tip personal. As I say, with people saying, you know, things about if you're not prepared to feed naturally, then you shouldn't be having children, as if you're being selfish. Mm. And I think the fact that it does get so personal and people do get so heated about it, it all adds to this environment where you can't make a free decision, or you can't feel free to explore your options or to ask for help, because it all leads to you feeling like you are a failure and you don't probably want to discuss that with people openly. I think we really need to move towards a fed is best kind of environment, where people, as long as your baby's healthy and you're bonding well, you know, that's the main thing. Because with all this pressure and the fear of postnatal depression and that kind of thing, it all adds to that feeling of you know, that you're not being supported in probably the most vulnerable time of your life, where you really need to feel that you're free and safe to make your decisions and ask questions. And you know, this sort of backlash of people getting so incredibly heated, it's just not a good environment for people to safely make decisions or ask for the help they need. At the end of the day, you want your baby to be well hydrated, and you want to be able to establish this really strong bond in those first few days that are just so crucial. And for me, the pain that was coming with every feed, it was making me dread feeding times. I was, when my husband was spotting these feeding cues, my heart was sinking. I was absolutely dreading having to go through that feed. And so it really did affect the bonding process. And it wasn't until I made the decision that enough was enough now, and we moved on to formula, that I could look forward to feeding and cuddling her and sitting there all snuggled up with the bottle. And it really did, it changed my mood entirely.
Yeah.
I just wasn't enjoying the first few days of her life, which is so sad. And it was all around, you know, desperately wanting to feed and it just not working out the way that I thought it was going to. And so that first week really was very, very difficult. But when we made the decision, and it wasn't an easy decision, but, you know, things did start to move on, and we really began to bond, because I was so much happier just within myself.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm so pleased that it ended up working out the best for you. Or you're pregnant with your next child. Are you going to just skip the breastfeeding, or are you going to give it a go again? What's your thoughts on that?
No, I'm absolutely going to give it another go. I'm hopeful that things might be different this time. I mean, I never had an explanation for what happened last time. They were, you know, we'd looked into tongue tie, and I did have a postpartum hemorrhage, and they thought that might have affected milk supply. So I'm hopeful that new baby will give it a brand new try. The only difference this time is that I won't suffer as long if I feel that it's not working, or, you know, I'm in pain, or we're not bonding. Then, you know, I won't feel the pressure this time. I will just make the switch, but I will give it my best go and see if I get luckier this time.
Oh, well, good luck with it all. And thanks so much for having a chat with us today.
Thank you.
Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb. I am here with our lovely group of local ladies who answer questions for us each month on our different episodes topic. We are here with our children, so there's a little bit of noise in the background. I do apologise. We're talking about feeding this month, and we've all had quite different experiences, as always. So I thought it'd be useful to get everyone's steer on kind of how they got on. Chloe, firstly, how was your feeding experience? Tell me, like, from early days, did Jake latch on okay? Or?
He did, yes. The first couple of weeks of feeding were brilliant. I found it, I had no problems at all. Jake gained weight, so he didn't lose weight, even though he was tongue-tied. He latched on fine, he fed fine, everything was fine.
Yeah.
The first few weeks were amazing.
First bit was pretty good. Holly, tell me about your experience.
I'm still feeding now, but it took a long time to get to a point where I was happy doing it. I had a lot of milk, so when my milk came in, it was like outrageous amounts. So I was in quite a lot of pain. It felt like someone had tied elastic bands around the base of my boobs and they were just so full and engorged and horrible. And I had to change my sheets every day because they just leaked everywhere. So it was a really trying 6 weeks before I felt like I'd properly cracked it. But then I really enjoyed it once I had cracked it. So that was great.
Before we gave birth, I think in my head thought it might have been a bit challenging, but Chloe had a funny experience which you were quite happy to share. So tell me about before you actually gave birth, how you had a sign that you had lots of milk.
So I was just lying in bed with my fiancé and we were being a bit amorous and he just squeezed my boob and I had a fountain of milk pour up into the air, which freaked us both out a bit.
So that gave you a sign that you knew that you had a nice supply of milk preparing to come in. Did you feel that it was kind of what you had expected the whole breastfeeding experience to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think because Jake was tongue-tied, although he could latch in his own way, it wasn't the way that maybe babies should latch. So although I had no pain, I was constantly breastfeeding. So Jake would feed like every 20 minutes, day and night. Yeah. It was just constant. And that's the reason, because I now know that he had silent reflux, that to soothe the pain, they fed more to do that. So Jake was literally constantly attached to me. And I remember my mum said, like, shouldn't be feeding that much. It's a bit unusual. So for me, I didn't expect him to be feeding that much.
For myself, Phoenix latched on well, but gosh, it was painful. I mean, I wasn't really prepared for how painful that it was. And, you know, when you're putting your baby on to feed, which is the most natural thing in the world, but it feels like the most unnatural pain, it's kind of this weird division of emotions.
Doing it, and I know it wasn't funny, but I just remember every time he latched onto you, like, ow, 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 but it was...
It was quite
amusing the way that you did it.
But you're on the verge of kind of swearing every time putting your baby on your nipple. And again, Holes, you introduced me to, is it Lanisol, the gel stuff?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I went through about 30 tubes of that Lassano nipple cream. Because I thought it was going to be easy. How hard can breastfeeding be? You kind of just get your boob out and give it, you know. But it was so, so hard. I really struggled with it. Yeah. And just the pain and stuff. And I was similar. Every time I was feeding Reggie, I was like screaming in pain, sat there with tears streaming down my face while I'm trying to feed my week-old baby.
Yeah.
It was really hard. And I so wanted to give up on so many occasions.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I didn't. So that's, you know, for anybody who's struggling with it, do persevere if it's what you want to do. But it just, I never expected it to be like that, ever.
Sarah, tell me about your feeding experience from early on.
I had quite a few problems. He was tongue-tied. We got that snipped and thought that would kind of solve things. Then, unfortunately, he wouldn't latch on, so I had to use nipple shields for a while.
How did you get on with those? Because we were saying earlier, they're a bit challenging, I think.
They are quite difficult to put on. There's a bit of a knack to it. But to be honest, it got him back on the boob, so I'm really grateful for them now. And what I did was put them on, and then as he was feeding, whipped them off halfway through.
Right.
And he kind of got the idea in the end. so that was all going well. We were getting there, and then I got mastitis, which is obviously pretty painful, and, you know, got antibiotics pretty quickly, but I was just really unlucky, and it turned into an abscess.
Oh, God.
Which, to cut a long story short, that meant I ended up in hospital, I had it drained.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know it was such a serious serious thing, because you hear mastitis thrown about quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's really common mastitis, and the abscess is not common, so I just don't want to sort of scare people there. But then once that was drained, I then had to go back and have it redressed every other day. And happy to say, you know, that was probably 3 months ago and I'm still breastfeeding now, pain-free. I have a little bit of a scar, but, you know, it is completely fine.
Yeah, oh, good. I'm pleased that it all kind of worked out for you in the end. What about breastfeeding in public, ladies? Did anybody have any semi-fears about doing that?
And 7 months down the line, I still hate breastfeeding in public. I just find it really, even though nobody's looking and it's the most natural thing in the world, it still just feels so weird, getting just, you know, exposing yourself. That's what it feels like. So yeah, I found it really hard. I bought these special tops that have a little flap that lift up, and so it keeps you covered, so it keeps your tummy completely covered, because I didn't like having my whole tummy out on show as well. Phoenix is trying to take my glasses off my face. So yeah, I bought special tops to really keep myself covered as much as possible, because it was a personal thing. I know nobody's looking and everybody thinks it's the most natural thing in the world, but it doesn't change the fact that you don't feel comfortable doing it in public. But it does, you know, get better. But I'm looking forward to not getting my boob out in public when I have stopped.
And what about you girls? Did you have a...
I mean, at first, I remember, you know, the first time I did it in public and I was using a cover, had a special shawl I bought and everything. And slowly, I think, you know, we'd all probably say you just get more confident about it. And now that, obviously, at the time, it sounds silly, but the technical aspect, I needed both hands to put him on, so I couldn't really cover myself at the same time. So now he can latch himself on, no problem. So it's much easier to just be out and about, pop him on quickly and still be quite discreet about it.
No, you're quite a confident girl. You happy to just whop the boobs out?
Not at all. I mean, I was quite lucky with Jake because he was such a small baby.
I remember being at Dave's house and we didn't even know you were feeding. You were just walking around with him like...
Yeah, I could, because he was so small, I could walk around with him in one hand. And so what I used to do, because same as Holly, I didn't want to get my stomach out. So I just used to wear two tops. One was a bit of a baggier one over the top, and then underneath was like a vest top. So I'd pull the vest top down and lift the other top up so that you couldn't really see anything. And I was still, it might be a long sleeve top, so I'd still be covered. So there are ways to get around it.
So tell me about something that you weren't really prepared for. So again, I think I touched on like just the pain early on. I was not prepared for that at all.
So I was just kind of overwhelmed by the whole process, to be honest. Like, not wanting it to sound dramatic, but it was just so much harder than I thought it was going to be. Obviously, we had quite a lot go wrong, and the best thing really was just going, I went to a breastfeeding cafe, I'd really recommend that, because they were the ones who told me that Leah is probably tongue-tied, and so that kind of helped to fix it eventually. But just the whole process was so overwhelming, and also getting used to them feeding for so long and so often, I was kind of housebound, and I really struggled with that at the beginning. But again, looking back now, I wish I had just sat with a box set and loads of food and just enjoyed that time, because... as you can see from us today here, they're a bit more of a handful now. You know.
It's quite debilitating. You can't physically do anything else. And you kind of think, is this it? Like, am I just going to have to feed this much? Like, who knew that it was that full on?
Yeah, my family called me Daisy for a long time. Daisy the cow was my nickname for a long time.
I think a lot of us feel like milk machines.
Definitely. And also, something that I didn't expect was just how thirsty and how hungry I was all the time. I just wanted so much water. So thirsty. And eating food all the time, whole packets of biscuits every day, because you just sat there drinking tea and feeding, like, attached to your child. But it's lovely at the same time now that we're all kind of 6 months on. It's really, like, I look back on it so fondly.
The only thing that I wanted to say is obviously about the tongue tie. So they do normally say to you that if your baby's tongue tied, as long as they're feeding well, then not to worry about it. Now, Jake, Leo obviously wasn't feeding well, and so that was the reason Sarah got hers checked out. Because Jake was feeding well and he kept putting on weight, so that the doctors were telling me to leave him. However, when we did get him checked out, he was 100% tongue-tied. And so although he was feeding well, potentially, if we'd have left him, he would have had speech problems.
Wow.
So I think my recommendation would be that if they are tongue-tied, to get it looked at to as soon as possible. We waited a month. Sarah, how long were you? About 2 weeks? Was it 9 days? Yeah. So we waited a month.
That went private, wasn't it?
Yeah. So both of us went private, because they normally only have one consultant at hospital, or one nurse at hospital, who does the procedure. So there was it's about a 3 week wait. And we were at the point where we wanted to see if it actually, for Jake, it didn't actually make a massive difference. And it got to, the thing that I was most surprised at was it got to about 3.5 months. I had a few drinks a couple of days, fed Jake the bottle, and then after that he refused to take the bottle, the boob anymore. So I think that's another thing to consider, is that there are risks, repercussions associated with, if you do want to stop breastfeeding and give the bottle, then the baby might decide they don't want the boob anymore.
And I guess that kind of leads me to my situation, was whereby Phoenix was I mean, I know a lot of babies have this kind of infamous witching hour in the evening or witching period. Phoenix was very grisly. Basically, the first 6 weeks, he screamed solidly, but the evenings were even worse. So my husband suggested trying a bottle in the evening, and having done that, we found he was a lot calmer. So that led me to think, well, he was hungry. There wasn't enough milk there, and he was trying to call for more food. Having thought about it further, I did have polycystic ovaries, which is a hormone imbalance, and there is actually a link with maybe not creating enough milk down to your hormones. So I didn't really think about that before, but I guess maybe I wouldn't have given myself such a hard time early on had I have thought about it. But so anyway, I introduced a couple of bottles in the evening. For the first however many months, that worked out quite well. Then when he had breakdowns in the day, I'd take a bottle out just as backup to kind of feed him and keep him satisfied, which worked. But then it kind of gradually infiltrated our life, which was fine, and he was breastfeeding still in the evenings. But then, again, similar to Chloe, he decided he wasn't really keen on the boob, and then he got a little toothy peg, so he started biting the nipple, which is always nice at 3 a.m, getting stabbing sharp pain. So we have now decided we're just doing mostly bottle and expressing some milk, but then the supply has completely dipped, so that's a battle that I'm facing now, trying to increase my supply, spending every waking second pumping. So,
and just another tip that I read, actually, maybe Dr. Tristan can confirm it, but is that for people who are struggling to breastfeed, the less milk that you produce, the more concentrated the antibodies are within the milk. So something that got me through was that if you produce, say, 50 mils of milk a day, you're giving the baby the same amount of antibodies as if they were being solely breastfed.
Oh, that's an amazing fact to hear, because that's kind of where I'm at the moment. So, but ultimately, as long as babies are putting on weight and kind of seem to be relatively happy, then, you know, do what seems to work for you. A lot of focus on breastfeeding. A lot of women aren't doing it. So if you're one of the people that aren't doing it, you know, you're not alone. You do what's right for you in the moment. Crack on and good luck with it all, ladies.
Thanks.
Bye.
Alas, we have come to the end of this month's show. Hope you've enjoyed listening. And thank you to everybody who participated and offered their advice for our special, All About Feeding. We will see you next month. If you do want to listen to any of my old content, you can do so via Mixcloud. My name is Josie Glitterbosher. I'll see you guys next month.